Lingua Mundi. Building a language-agnostic map of meaning from open lexical data. A spoken reading. Studio Voice. Welcome. This is an audio recording of a technical research paper, prepared so that it can be heard as well as read. About this recording. The voice you are hearing is synthetic, generated entirely by computer, and the recording was made for accessibility. The full text of the paper, with its tables, references, appendices, and clickable sources, lies on the paper's webpage. What you will hear is a listening-first adaptation, the same story, dates, numbers, and honesty, arranged for the ear rather than the eye. A word about the document itself, so that nothing is hidden. The paper is a preliminary draft, written with the help of artificial intelligence, at the direction of its author, Rachel Hernandez Hernandez, an independent researcher and translator based in Tabasco, Mexico, working under the name RHLS Studio. It is not the final publication, the author's own human-authored paper is still in development. Every fact, figure, and quotation traces to a dated primary source, conversation logs, project journals, the software repository, and direct measurements of the live database, and those sources are listed in the paper's appendix. Nothing in this draft has been peer-reviewed, and no claim in it should be treated as final wording. The printed page uses three small labels, an H for a fact verified against a dated source or measurement, an O for an attributed interpretation or opinion, and an V for a statement that could not be verified. In this recording, we rarely say those labels out loud. When a fact has been checked, we say it was verified, or that the records show it. When something is uncertain, we say so plainly, this is not yet verified, the records disagree, the reason is unexplained. Please hear those phrases as the careful language they are. This project would rather show an open question than pretend to have an answer. One convention for listeners. The paper explains its technical terms the first time they appear, and so does this recording. When a term like lexeme, synset, or materialized view first comes up, we pause to say in plain words what it means. Miss a term, and you can listen again, or find it in the glossary on the page. So what is lingua mundi? In one sentence, a free and open map of meaning, a database that stores ideas, not just words. The idea of domestic cat is stored once, and each language attaches its own words to it, gato in Spanish, cat in English, Nico in Japanese. Six languages are live: English, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and Japanese, built over about 10 months by one person on one laptop from the year 2014, with a budget of zero, using only open data. The reading ahead follows the paper, how the idea was born in December 2025, the background it builds on, the design and the engineering, including the bug that briefly hid the English word cat from its own meaning, the StarMap interface and the 2014 machine the studio affectionately calls the potato, and finally the project's honest state in September 2026. There are seven more parts, in the paper's own order. Part 2 is the abstract. Let us begin. Part 2. The abstract of the paper. Human dictionaries and wordnets are organized by language. There is a Spanish word file, an English one, a Japanese one. But a meaning such as domestic cat is not Spanish, English, or Japanese. It is shared by all of them, each language merely points at it with a different word, gato in Spanish, cat in English, chat in French, katsu in German, and niko in Japanese, a single character in that writing system. Lingua Mundi World Language is an open, free, and language-agnostic lexical knowledge base that tries to turn the usual arrangement inside out. Instead of one dictionary per language, it stores the meaning once, and attaches every language's words to that shared meaning. The alignment key is the multilingual wordnets of the open data community, a wordnet being a dictionary organized by meaning rather than alphabetically. The project is the work of a single person, on a single laptop from 2014, a 4-core Intel Pentium processor, 8 gigabytes of memory, a hard disk spinning at 5400 revolutions per minute, and a slow internet connection, the very machine that hosts the live system. The budget is zero, and all data is open data. Between December 2025 and September 2026, the project grew from a folder of downloaded dictionary files into a working database on the free program Postgres, holding more than 96,000 concepts, shared meanings, more than 1.2 million word forms, more than 1.6 million recorded word meanings, and more than 171,000 connections between meanings, across six live languages. A query interface answers in milliseconds, and a web interface is styled as a map of meaning, an explorable star chart, in which one star can be cat, gato, and niko at once. The paper documents the project's intellectual origin, the intuition that meaning, not spelling, is the natural unit of multilingual data, the principles of its design, a language-agnostic model, alignment of meanings through synsets, sets of words that share one meaning, a taxonomy, or family tree, of type relations, ranking shaped by Zipf's law, the observation that a few words do most of the work, and a bake, don't rederive pattern from database practice, in which expensive answers are computed once, stored, and read many times. It documents the open data sources and licenses, the tools in the human AI workflow, the user interface, and the failures found along the way, including a silent truncation bug that briefly made the English word cat invisible to its own meaning. The repair chain for that bug was launched on the morning of September 7, 2026, and was verified complete the same day. The paper is also, quietly, a case study, what one determined person can build on open data with free tools and borrowed computation, and in the engineering habits, measure, date, label, and admit what is unverified that make a small project honest enough to grow into a large one. The figures in the abstract were measured on September 6 and 7, 2026. The exact queries, dates, and sources are printed in the paper's appendix. That was the abstract. Part 3 begins the story of how the idea began. Part 3. The story of how the idea began, sections 1 through 3 of the paper. Chapter 1 is called The Intuition, Why Dictionaries Are the Wrong Shape. Every language learner has felt the friction. You look up cat in an English to Spanish dictionary and find gato. You look up gato in a Spanish to Japanese dictionary and find the Japanese word Nico. Three dictionaries later, you have spent an afternoon confirming what you suspected all along, the same idea, a small domesticated carnivore that purrs, described three times, in three separate files, by three different organizations, and never once connected. The intuition behind Lingua Mundi is that this is the wrong shape for linguistic data. The meaning exists once, the words exist many times. A database that stores meanings as first-class objects, and treats words as labels that languages attach to those meanings, would let a person or program move from any language to any other through a single shared map. A learner would see at a glance that cat, gato, chat, katsa, and Nico are not five facts to memorize, but one fact wearing five coats. This intuition did not arrive as a thunderbolt. It grew, over roughly a year, out of one person's daily work, and its earliest documentary trace is remarkably plain. The first message. On December 3, 2025, the author opened a conversation with a chatbot and typed, "I want to find free dictionaries similar to the Japanese dictionary files called Jamdict and Kanjidict, for Spanish, English, French, Italian, Portuguese, Chinese, Korean and Vietnamese. My intent is to create a unified multilingual database. I am also interested in knowing if similar databases exist for indigenous Mexican languages that I can freely access." Three things in that message foreshadow everything the project became. First, the languages named Spanish, English, French, Italian, Portuguese, and later Japanese are exactly the languages he translates and teaches. He would later formalize them as the core six. Second, the phrase "a unified multilingual database" already names the goal, one database, not six dictionaries. Third, the author was thinking about indigenous Mexican languages from the very first day, an interest that returns throughout the project's history. The context matters too. The author is not a computer scientist by training. He is a translator and language tutor who was, at the time, also learning Japanese seriously, building small tools to make that easier, games for kanji, the Chinese origin characters used in Japanese, and for kana, the Japanese syllable scripts. A furigana editor for Japanese ebooks, furigana being the small pronunciation marks beside characters, would join later in 2026 as an app called Shikibu. His home directory shows the trail, a kanji dictionary file downloaded November 11, 2025, and, prompted by that conversation, the open multilingual WordNet data on December 5. That conversation is the hinge, the moment when I need Japanese data for my tools widened into I want to build a unified multilingual database, for free, for many languages, including my own country's languages. From dictionaries to meanings, the December 2025 pipeline. Between December 5 and December 16, 2025, the author wrote, "With a chatbot as programming partner, a chain of programs, a data pipeline, the name for an assembly line that moves raw data into its final home, the downloaded, parsed, and merged lexical data from several open sources into progressively more structured forms. The pipeline's final stage, dated December 16, splits every entry into four kinds of objects, a concept, a shared idea, a sense, one particular meaning of one word in one dictionary, a lexeme, a word form in one language, the string cat, the string gato, and a grapheme, a written character such as a kanji. The schema, the database blueprint, is telling. Each sense carries a field pointing to its concept, and that field may be empty, meaning, this word meaning has not yet been linked to a shared idea." The author's notes describe. The method is zero heuristics, no fuzzy guessing, no statistical tricks to decide that two words mean the same thing, only explicit, documented links. That December 16th schema is, in miniature, the entire architecture of what would later be called lingua mundi. Words live in languages, meanings live in a shared space, and the hard, honest problem which word in which language means which concept is never faked. A meaning not yet linked to a concept is kept, visibly unlinked, rather than silently guessed into place. 10 months later, when a bug made the English word cat invisible to its concept, the author described the principle in exactly these terms: better to show an orphan than to hide one. We will hear that story in part 5. The gap and the widening. Then the paper trail goes quiet for roughly 5 months, from mid-December 2025 until late May 2026. The available logs contain no dictionary pipeline work. This is not yet verified as absence, only absence from the records. And the project's growth was not continuous, it advanced in bursts, separated by weeks or months of other work, a rhythm that continued throughout 2026. When the thread resumes, the ambition has widened. On May 1, 2026, the author is studying the coverage of version 2 of the Open Multilingual WordNet. On May 27, he asks for a systematic map of every free lexical, grammatical, and semantic resource that could feed a multilingual knowledge base. Why this matters beyond one person's project. A reader may wonder why a paper documents a personal project's intuition at such length. The answer: the intuition is the contribution. The idea that meanings, not spellings, are the natural unit of multilingual data has a long academic pedigree. It is the oldest dream of machine translation's interlingua tradition, a shared middle language, so that translation passes through meaning, and it is the organizing principle of the Princeton WordNet. But it is rarely acted upon by an individual, with no budget, as a public good. The great resources built on this principle are maintained by funded consortia. Lingua Mundi is one independent researcher's attempt to build a piece of that infrastructure himself, for his own translation and teaching work, and to give it away. Whether it succeeds, the reader can judge from the evidence, and the author's own journals show him asking the same question, with the same honesty, all along.
Chapter 2. Background: what a map of meaning means.
Three strands of prior work matter: the linguistic idea that meaning can be separated from spelling, the computational idea that meaning can be stored as data and linked across languages, and the modern observation that a structured map of meaning complements, rather than competes with, the large language programs that learn from text.
The sign and its two faces.
Modern linguistics begins with an observation credited to Ferdinand de Saussure's lectures in the early 20th century: a word is a pairing of a sound or shape, the signifier, and a concept, the signified. Two languages, on this view, are not two sets of words that happen to translate, they are two sets of shapes that overlap on a shared space of ideas. If a machine could store ideas once and attach shapes to them, translation becomes a lookup through a shared middle, the interlingua approach. In full generality, that dream repeatedly proved too hard. Languages do not carve meaning into identical pieces, and every translator knows that Cat the Animal and Cat the Jazz Musician are different ideas wearing one word shape. But the dream never died, it was narrowed into something buildable, the lexicon, the part of language that maps best onto stable, shared meanings.
WordNet and the Synset.
The decisive narrowing came from psychology and lexicography. In the 1980s and 1990s, George Miller and colleagues at Princeton built WordNet, a lexical database for English organized not alphabetically but semantically.
WordNet's core invention is the Synset, a contraction of synonym set, a
group of words that can stand for the same meaning in some context.
The synset of cat, true cat, felis catus, and domestic cat is one meaning. The synset of cat, cat, guy, and hombre, an informal term for a youth or man, is another meaning that happens to share the word shape cat.
WordNet also records relations between synsets, most importantly the is-a hierarchy. A domestic cat is a kind of feline a kind of carnivore, a carnivore a kind of mammal, turning the dictionary into a graph, a web of meanings connected by type relationships. WordNet matters here for three reasons. It proved that a machine-readable lexicon organized by meaning is feasible and enormously useful. It gave the world stable identifiers for meanings, so the domestic cat synset can be cited across databases by its number alone, and it became the anchor of a multilingual project, the Open Multilingual WordNet, launched by Francis Bond and Ryan Foster,
which collects WordNets in many languages and aligns them to the Princeton English WordNet.
Every participating language's synsets carry pointers to the English synset they correspond to. Explicit, human-curated statements of the form, Spanish gato, first sense, belongs to the same meaning as the English domestic cat synset.
It is the resource that made Lingua Mundi possible. The open data ecosystem around the WordNets. The Open Multilingual WordNet is one node in a large, openly licensed ecosystem an individual can legally and technically combine.
Wiktionary, the collaborative dictionary hosted by the Wikimedia Foundation, gives very wide coverage in hundreds of languages.
Wikidata, Wikimedia's structured knowledge base, stores machine-readable statements released into the public domain. Universal Dependencies publishes grammatically annotated sentences, real evidence of how words are used. The Japanese dictionary files of Jim Breen's Electronic Dictionary Project cover Japanese extensively, with translations into several languages. Unimore stores word forms, how run becomes ran. Opus gathers translated sentences from the web and movie subtitles. Word frequency lists rank words by how common they are in real texts. And a standard called ISO 639-3 gives every human language a stable three-letter code: ISPA for Spanish, JPN for Japanese, which Lingua Mundi uses as the keys of its language table. Two properties of this ecosystem structure the whole project. First, the licenses are genuinely open, so combining these datasets into a derived database is legal as long as attribution is respected, and Lingua Mundi records the source and license of every imported dataset. Second, the ecosystem is complementary. Wiktionary is broad but shallow, the word nets are deep but narrow, one source is about usage, another about word forms, another about prominence. The engineering problem, then, is not fine data. It is merged data that was never designed to be merged, without lying about the joins. Why a map of meaning still matters in the age of large models? A fair objection must be stated plainly. If large language models can already translate, define, and reason about words, why build a structured lexicon at all? The author's answer has three parts. Verifiability. A structured database can show its work. Every link has a source, a license, and a date, where a model's knowledge is an opaque statistical mixture that cannot be audited, corrected, or cited. Cost and access. A local database query costs nothing and works offline, where every model query costs energy or money. The author's standing rule is zero token research queries. The local interface is the research surface. And complementarity. The author's June 2026 paper argued, as a hypothesis, not yet proven, that a compact model operating over meaning identifiers rather than raw word tokens could be far more efficient, because the concept map does the semantic work outside the network. A token is the small chunk of text a model reads or writes. Whether or not the hypothesis survives, the map stays useful to the models as external memory that can be queried and updated without retraining. The intellectual ancestry of Lingua Mundi, in one line, it is the interlingua dream, narrowed to the lexicon by WordNet, made multilingual by the open multilingual WordNet, made legal by the open data movement, and made personal by one translator's need for a dictionary that treats meaning, not language, as the thing being filed. Chapter 3. The name, the thesis, and the seven-graph architecture, May to June 2026. Naming. Until late May 2026, the author's notes used the working title Multilingual Lexical Platform. The name Lingua Mundi, Language of the World, in Latin, first appears in the surviving record on June 1, 2026, as the title of a research manuscript. The name is apt. The project's claim is not that it contains many languages, but that it is about the one space of meaning those languages share. A research thesis, meaning, not tokens. Between roughly March and June 2026, the author developed a thesis about why a concept-level map of language could make language technology radically more efficient and accessible. His framing, pasted for review in July, create a multilingual, open, machine-readable map of human language that separates meaning, form, structure, history, and usage into interoperable graphs. The long-term objective is to make language computable at the concept level rather than the token level. The underlying argument, a language model spends most of its capacity on surface variation, treating dog, perro, and the Japanese for dog as three unrelated things when they are one thing in three coats. If a model could read and write sequences of meanings, with the concept map doing the multilingual work outside the network, the model could be smaller, cheaper, and runnable on ordinary computers. Seven versions in one morning, the adversarial collaboration method. The manuscript proposed a seven-layer architecture, a concept graph of language-independent meanings, with a target size of 1 billion nodes, a design ambition, not something yet built, a synset graph mapping words of every language onto concepts, and graphs for morphology, derivation, etymology, cross-language correspondence, and usage, all joined by a common identifier system. Around those, the paper sketched a model reading meaning identifiers rather than word tokens, curved space maps of meaning, retrieval of facts from the graph, and an audited budget proving the whole thing could run on ordinary laptops. What makes this episode notable as method? The author did not write the manuscript alone. On the morning of June 1, 2026, he ran the draft through seven successive revisions in under half an hour, using two models adversarially, one drafted while the other audited with the rigor of a hostile peer reviewer.
The audit transcripts survive and are candid about what each round fixed: a storage budget arithmetic error, a fabricated empirical claim, removed and replaced with an explicitly labeled hypothesis, a comparison against a hypothetical model, replaced with one against a real model, performance claims narrowed, unsupported scaling claims relabeled as open research problems. By version 7, the manuscript was an honest position paper with a falsifiable evaluation plan. The audits rated the manuscript's vision highly and its empirical support low. The last audit's advice was blunt: the next valuable artifact is not version 8 of the paper, it is prototype 0.1, an experiment with 100,000 to a million concepts, English only, trained on simple stories, compared directly against a model that reads ordinary word tokens. That experiment would answer the central question: does compressing language through meaning preserve enough information to justify the bottleneck? The author followed that advice. Three observations matter. First, the idea was never the bottleneck, the vision rated a minus, the bottleneck was evidence, and the audit said so 7 times. Second, the working method, multiple models as adversarial. Collaborators, every draft and audit kept, honest qualification over confident overclaim, became the studio's permanent standard. Third, the 7-layer architecture became the roadmap, several layers are built today, and the derivation, etymology, correspondence, and usage layers are queued phases of the same plan. That closes the story of how the idea began. Part 4 moves to July and August 2026, when the platform took shape. Part 4. The platform takes shape, and the design of the model, sections 4 and 5 of the paper. Chapter 4. The platform takes shape, July to August 2026. Feasibility. On July 18, 2026, the author asked a chatbot, point blank, whether the vision could be built from existing free components, and what he would need to develop it. The conversation and the weeks that followed record the pivot from research paper to engineering program. The project adopted the mission statement quoted earlier: make language computable at the concept level, and the author began scaffolding actual code. Schema files exist on disk dated July 17, 2026. The engineering specification. On July 24, 2026, the author consolidated the design into a 104-page engineering specification, version 2, subtitled Revised and Production Ready. It is the project's constitution, and it explains most of what later got built. First, the synset-centric principle: every lexical object must ultimately attach to a synset, a meaning, and the database is organized around meanings rather than spellings. Its worked example is the word bank, one word shape with several distinct meanings, the river bank, the financial institution, the verb to bank on something. Never one undifferentiated blob. Second, language tiers: the specification plan English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Japanese, and Mandarin in a first launch tier, with Italian, Korean, and Vietnamese in a second. Note now, the paper returns to this, that the six languages which actually ship differ from that plan. The live six are English, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and Japanese. Mandarin and Italian are absent, German is present, and the substitution is nowhere explained in the surviving records, an honest, unresolved question we will hear again in the final part. Third, the data model, an 11-table core that formalizes the December 2025 intuition languages, word forms, meanings, relations, sources, synsets, and supporting tables. Fourth, a 5-level alignment hierarchy, because automatic and manual linking differ in reliability, every stored link carries its confidence level, from explicit source-stated links down to heuristic guesses, the mature form of the December rule, zero heuristics, not no automatic linking, but labeled, honest linking. Fifth, a phase roadmap with gates, phases 0 through 5, each with an exit criterion. And a risk register, including a warning about Japanese-Chinese false friends. The Japanese word tegemai, built from the characters for hand and paper, means letter, the same two characters in Chinese mean toilet paper. A character that means daughter in Japanese, Muzu, means mother in Chinese. The specification also fixed a technology stack, an interface framework, Postgres, a search engine, a web front end, which the project would later simplify. By mid-August, the author was already questioning it himself. The July Journal. Around those days, the author's private journal records a related, more personal thread: his attempt to think through a universal semantic graph, a way of representing meaning that would work across programming languages, music theory, chemistry, and natural language. The most relevant passage reflects on what it would mean to render one semantic object in three languages at once, the same intuition as cat, gato, and Nico together. Tellingly, the journal's worked example of a language to be explained is the Lingua Mundi code zone schema for creating a language entry. By mid-July, the research vision and the actual code were already woven together in his mind. August, from schema to running system.
August 2026 is when Lingua Mundi became a system. In early August, the author explored graph and knowledge representation options, ways to store knowledge for machines, and asked whether the interface really needs a heavy stack.
On August 11, he explored integrating Maya languages, continuing the thread from that December message. On August 13, two design conversations settled the product's shape, one on the technology stack for a linguistic API, one on a semantic interaction layer, the future bridge between knowledge and applications. From August 19 to 25, he built the Japanese demonstration, a compact offline database bundling Japanese dictionary data, so the concept-oriented design could be touched, queried, and shown to others. The sprint had a concrete audience. Representatives of the Japan Foundation were due at his university the following week, and the demonstration, together with the Furigana editor being renamed Shikibu, was prepared as a leave-behind product dossier. On August 23, asked for a one-paragraph description, he heard back a summary matching what the logs show him building. Rather than being just a Japanese dictionary or translation app, Lingua Mundi is intended to become a general linguistic intelligence layer. On August 24, the codebase moved into its permanent home as a proper repository, with daily backup snapshots beginning August 27. The lean stack decision that shaped everything. The most consequential technical decision of August is preserved verbatim. On August 13, the author pasted his own plan stack, an interface framework, a data table library, a fast analysis engine, Postgres, a graph extension, a search engine, a memory cache, a job queue, a JavaScript interface library, and containers, and asked, does the linguistic API really need this stack if it already runs on Postgres? The answer he adopted, almost none of it was needed yet. Postgres alone could serve relational dictionary data, kanji, readings, conjugations, translations, full-text search, searching by matching words inside stored text, and even graph-style recursive queries. The correct rule, add technology when Postgres itself becomes the limitation, not, the plan says graph database, therefore install a graph database. The advice concluded, your API's competitive advantage is not infrastructure. It is the linguistic data model and transformations you have built on top of the data. This decision, one relational database, one API framework, nothing else until measured need, is the direct ancestor of the performance architecture described later. When the database grew to 1.6 million word meanings and naive queries slowed to minutes, the author did not reach for a graph database or a search engine, he reached for Postgres materialized views, the bake, don't rederive pattern, and cut the slowest queries from over a minute to about 1 second on hardware from 2014. The lean decision is what made that optimization both necessary and possible. The human AI development method, in practice. Nearly every milestone is accompanied by a conversation log, the author thinks in dialogue. By August 2026, his method had stabilized. The human sets the direction and owns the data, every request is the author's own, every file is on his machine, every decision, including reversals like the lean stack question, is his. The AI models are specialized collaborators, one for research, critique, and audit, another for drafting and revision, and later as the engine beneath the studio's own automation, a third for long-horizon memory. The knowledge base began as that model's memory export. The record is kept, conversations are exported, code is snapshot, and from August 26, 2026, every working session is logged with dates and verification status. An adversarial review is built in, drafts are audited by a different model than the one that wrote them, and the audits are kept on file. Whether one calls this vibe coding or simply using the tools, the honest label matters. Lingua Mundi is a human-authored project built in deliberate, documented collaboration with AI assistance, and this paper is an artifact of the same method.
Chapter 5. Design, the linguistic and mathematical principles of the model. Four kinds of objects, one space of meanings. The data model descends directly from the December 2025 pipeline and the July specification. In its mature form, it stores five core kinds of things. A language, one row per human language, keyed by its three-letter ISO code, with its name, its autonym, the name speakers call their own language, its family, and its writing script. Adding a language is, by design, adding one row plus datasets. There are no per-language tables anywhere, the schema-level expression of the interlingua idea. A lexeme, a word form in a specific language, the string cat, the string dotto, the Japanese for cat. A lexeme belongs to one language and carries a part of speech, noun, verb, adjective, and so on. A sense, one meaning of one lexeme is recorded by one dictionary, cat the animal sense from one source, cat the jazz musician sense from another. A lexeme typically has many senses, this is how the model represents polysemy, one word with several meanings, without collapsing them together. A sense may or may not yet be linked to a concept, the link field is empty by design, and an unlinked sense is kept, shown as an orphan, rather than guessed into place. A concept, a meaning, shared across languages, domestic cat, identified by its Princeton WordNet synset address. This is where multilingual alignment happens. Spanish gato, English cat, French chat, German katsa, and Japanese niko can all point at the same concept, one star with many names. The concept table is the heart of the system, holding more than 96,000 rows. And a relation, a typed, directed connection between two concepts, domestic cat is a kind of feline, carrying a predicate, a confidence level, and a source. The database holds more than 171,000 of them. Around these sits provenance machinery, a source table recording where every dataset came from, its license, and its address, so no claim is ever unattributed. The alignment problem, and why it is not faked. The central intellectual problem of a multilingual map of meaning is alignment, deciding that this sense of this word in this language is the same meaning as that sense of that word in that language. Lingua Mundi's answer is to not decide it fresh. The open multilingual WordNet already states which of its synsets correspond to Princeton synsets, and the database imports those explicit mappings as its primary alignment layer. Where no explicit mapping exists, the five-level confidence hierarchy applies. Source-stated links rank highest, inferred links rank lowest, and are stored with their level, never silently promoted to fact. It is not that the system never guesses, it is that guesses are labeled as guesses, and that is what makes the database honest enough to grow. A wrong guess marked as a guess can be found and fixed, a wrong guess stored as fact poisons everything downstream. The same philosophy governs the granularity of languages. The ISO standard distinguishes real languages, not political boundaries, and the author has flagged one genuinely hard case, Korean, whose single code covers both the standard of the Republic of Korea and the standard of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The records show this flagged as an open modeling decision, a reminder that real language data resists neat one-roper language boxes. The graph, taxonomies, neighborhoods, and the long tail. Once senses are aligned to concepts and relations connect them, the database is a graph, more than 96,000 meaning nodes joined by more than 171,000 typed edges, the largest structure being the Ise taxonomy inherited from WordNet mammal, carnivore, feline, domestic cat, enriched by instance of, part of, and cross-language relations. Three mathematical facts shape the interface and the engineering. First, taxonomies are trees of meaning. Because every concept's parents are known, the system can answer what is this a kind of, and what are the kinds of this. Second, degree distributions are Zipfian. A few concepts, animal, person, thing, have enormous neighborhoods, while most have a handful of neighbors. This long tail is the shape Zip found in word frequencies. A small number of words account for most usage. Two design consequences follow. Ranking must exist, because you cannot show 30,000 meanings for one query, and it must be meaningful, so the interface ranks concepts by their sky brightness, a proxy for how important and well-connected a meaning is. Third, shortest paths are the natural translation route. Given two concepts, the graph can be searched for a connecting path. The measuring tool explores outward from both meanings at once, at most 10 steps deep, answering in milliseconds. Zip and the shape of dictionaries. Zip's law deserves one explicit mention, because it quietly explains the whole performance architecture. If word frequencies follow a power law, any dictionary is dominated by a short head of common words and an astronomically long tail of rare ones. For the database, most rows are rare words, most queries hit common words, and any query that must scan the whole table, rare words included, is catastrophically slower than one that starts from a pre-computed ranking. The bake, don't rederive pattern is a way of turning Zip's law from a performance enemy into a design tool. Bake the head, the ranking, the top words per concept once, and let the tail stay in the tables for the rare lookups that need it. Sky brightness, one ranking to rule the map. The interface's organizing metaphor is a star map, backed by an actual computation. Each concept is assigned a brightness, a numeric magnitude used to sort the sky, derived from how it stands in the multilingual graph, how many languages have words attached, how rich those word sets are, how prominent the concept is in the taxonomy. The database precomputes a full ordering of all 96,000 plus concepts, so asking for the sky never requires sorting a million rows at request time. Two companion pre-computed views complete the system, one for per language rankings, and one baking in the top four words per concept per language, so enriching a star with its words is a lookup, not a search across 1.6 million meanings. Bounded work, the game designer's discipline applied to a database. The final design principle is borrowed from video games. A game renders a frame in 16 milliseconds no matter how large the world is, it budgets work per frame. Lingua Mundi applies the same discipline, bounded work per query, on an unbounded data space, because its hardware demands it.
No request may scan the whole corpus. Every request starts from an index or a baked view. The interface renders only when the user does something. Results are paginated in stable windows. The next part shows the three performance walls this discipline hit, and then the bug, the silent truncation that hit CAT. That closes part 4. Part 5 covers the architecture and the two infrastructure lessons. Part 5. The architecture, importing the world, serving the map, and the two infrastructure lessons, sections 6 and 7 of the paper. Chapter 6. Architecture. The pipeline, one registry, more than 20 importers. Every dataset enters Lingua Mundi through an importer, a program that knows how to read one external format and write it into the project's own schema. The single authoritative list of importers lives in one file, the importer registry, and by September 2026 it held more than 20 registered plugins, the Princeton WordNet and the English WordNet, the open multilingual WordNet, Wiktionary and its machine-readable copy called Kaiki, Wikidata, the wordform data of Unimorph, the grammar-annotated sentences of universal dependencies, a German synonym source, an English pronunciation dictionary, data breaking written characters into their parts. Cross-linguistic association data, word frequency lists, and the Japanese family, the JMDIC dictionary, an English to Japanese companion file, and the Kanji dictionary. One caveat, for precision and honesty, a folder for translated sentence corpora exists in the importer's directory, but it is an empty, unregistered stub, waiting for a future sentence layer listed as a placeholder, not a ship source. Each importer registers its target languages against the same three-letter ISO codes, which keeps the schema language agnostic in practice, not just in theory. Imports are supervised by a pipeline that runs each source, records the job, and, crucially for the next chapter, reports success. After each import, it refreshes the ranking views, so the sky always reflects the freshest data. The corpus today, measured. Direct measurement of the live database on September 6, 2026, re-verified the next day with identical counts, gives these numbers: more than 96,000 concepts, more than 1.2 million word forms, more than 1.6 million recorded word meanings, and more than 171,000 typed connections across 6 live languages: English, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and Japanese. The per-language weight tells its own story. Japanese dominates, with roughly 345,000 word forms and about 528,000 recorded meanings. English follows with about 271,000 word forms and 393,000 meanings, then German, Spanish, French, and Portuguese, each with roughly 150,000 to 175,000 word forms. These per-language figures are approximate, rounded from an audit, while the overall counts are exact at the moment they were measured. Two honest caveats belong beside these numbers. First, the corpus is layered. Some datasets, the machine-readable Wiktionary copy and the word frequency lists, were deliberately capped at 50,000 rows per import run, with deeper coverage supplied by other sources. That cap is documented rather than hidden. The next chapter shows what happens when a similar cap was not documented as a risk. The API surface. The system exposes a small, deliberately frozen set of request endpoints, the agreed doorways by which other programs ask the database for data. The endpoints, verified live in September 2026, are these: one lists the live languages and their metadata. Two are paginated list queries for word forms and for concepts, capped at 1,000 results per page after an audit found them unbounded. One performs the morphological and lexical analysis of a word, morphology being how words change form for grammar. Two handle the Japanese kanji and dictionary lookups. Then the star map endpoints: one serves the sky itself, concepts ranked by brightness, with parameters for search, language, depth, whether to attach member words, and a taxonomy lens that climbs or descends the ISA tree from a chosen concept. One serves a single star in full, its member words per language and its neighbor concepts, both paginated. One measures the bounded graph path between two concepts, and one is the word lens. Given a word and a language, it returns the concepts its recorded meanings currently linked to. All responses are compressed, and every query runs from an index or a pre-computed view, the bounded work rule. Why the design is language agnostic in the database, not just on paper. The reader can now see the whole loop. A new language arrives as one language row, say Mandarin, code CMN, plus registered datasets, the Mandarin WordNet, a Mandarin grammar annotated corpus. Importers write its word forms, its meanings, and, where explicit mappings exist, its links from meanings to concepts. The ranking views recompute. The sky gains a language. No table changes, no migration, no special case in the API. The design's promise add languages indefinitely is not marketing, it is the direct consequence of the schema. Chapter 7. Two infrastructure lessons: bake, don't re-derive, and fail loud.
every database project eventually meets its performance walls. Lingua Mundi met three of them in 1 week and then discovered that the most interesting problem was not speed, but silence. The pattern, bake, don't read, arrive. The rule that solved all three walls is simple enough to state in a sentence: when many queries need the same expensive computation, compute it once, store the result, and keep it fresh, do not recompute it for every query. In database terms, Lingua Mundi uses Postgres materialized views, stored, pre-computed answer tables that refresh on a schedule. Materialized is the database word for baked. Wall 1, ranking the sky. Originally, asking for the default star map forced the database to re-rank the entire corpus on every request, about 8.5 seconds each time, on the 2014-era laptop. The fix baked the ranking into two pre-computed tables, with about 94,500 and about 218,000 rows. Afterward, the default sky answered in about a quarter of a second, and deeper requests in tens of milliseconds. Wall 2, naming the stars. Asking for the sky with its words attached, the top words per concept per language, required joining across 1.6 million recorded meanings on every request. At 1,000 stars, the query took more than a minute. A pathological case. The fix baked the words themselves. A third view precomputes the top four words per concept per language, about 338,000 rows at creation, turning a minute plus search into a lookup of about 1 second, and the default view into about a quarter of a second. Wall 3, hierarchy and pagination. Climbing and descending the taxonomy, and paging through stable windows of stars, were solved with careful query ordering and stable pagination, not with a graph database. That was the payoff of the August lean stack decision. After each import, the views refresh automatically, so baked never means stale. The expensive work happens once, off the critical path, and the user's request only ever reads pre-computed answers. The silent truncation that hid cat. In late August 2026, the English layer of the corpus was imported with a row cap that no one intended to be a cap at all. The supervising import script limited the English Open Multilingual WordNet import to 50,000 candidates and then reported success. English cat is candidate number 52,195 in the file's alphabetical order. It was cut off. Roughly 22,000 of the 117,000 English synsets were never created, just under 1 in 5 English meanings, silently absent. For those meanings, English word senses existed as raw dictionary entries but were never linked to concepts. The word cat was not missing from the database. It was invisible to the map. A search for its meaning could not find it, because the meaning node its senses should have pointed to had never been built. For about 6 days, nobody knew. The demonstration the author cared about, cat, gato, and the Japanese for cat on one star, worked in Spanish and Japanese, but came up empty in English. And the empty result looked like a data gap, as if English lacked the word. A timing note from the record explains why the hole surfaced only then. The shared, multi-language sky itself only arrived late in the August to September import run, once a linking script finished connecting the imported languages. Before that, the fallback sky was a small, single language view. So the English hole stayed invisible until the shared concept view was actually live, in early September. The author's own insistence, recorded in the session log, was that this was not a data gap infrastructure. He was right. The failure was not in the data, it was in the pipeline's honesty. A truncated import had reported success, and nothing in the system was designed to notice that success, with a 50,000 row cap, meant failure for candidate 52,195. The fix, an uncapped, idempotent repair chain. The repair, designed and launched on September 6 and 7, 2026, is a model of how to fix a data pipeline without losing data or trust. Remember that it was still running when this paper was drafted. The repair has 5 steps. First, re-import the English WordNet without the cap idempotently, meaning safely repeatable, an interrupted run can be relaunched without duplicating rows. Second, rerun the connections between the newly created synsets. Third, integrate, promote the new synsets to concepts, link their member meanings, and re-express the relations between concepts. Fourth, refresh the materialized views, so the map reflects the repaired corpus. Fifth, verify end-to-end with an acceptance script that proves, from the database and through the live API, that English cat reaches the domestic cat concept together with its multilingual members, gato, chat, katsa, and the Japanese for cat, and that the concept has its proper family tree parents. The acceptance check is designed to be rerun at any time, and to exit with a loud pass or fail. Because every step was written to be idempotent, creative missing, skip if it exists, a machine crash mid-repair costs nothing but time. The chain can be relaunched, and it will finish the job.
The same property protects the live database from partial states. The lesson, fail loud versus fail silent. The cat episode is a textbook case of the problem every data engineer fears, a pipeline that fails silently and reports success. The methodological lesson, that a ROCAP is not a success criterion, and that importers must verify completeness, not just completion, is worth stating as a general principle for open data infrastructure, where datasets arrive with no guarantees and pipelines are assembled by hand. Lingua Mundi's response was institutionalized in two forms, the acceptance script any future import chain can run, and the standing rule that unverified claims are labeled unverified in the database, with orphan census kept visible and confidence levels on every link, and in every written record. A system that can show its orphans is a system whose gaps can be found. A system that hides them is a system whose gaps will be found eventually, by the worst possible person, a user looking for cat. That closes part 5. Part 6 is the star map itself, the interface, and the remarkable machine it runs on. Part 6. The interface, a star map of meaning, and the workbench it runs on, sections 8 and 9 of the paper. Chapter 8. The interface. Data alone is not a product. The question that shaped Lingua Mundi's interface was simple. What should looking at a map of meaning feel like? The author's answer, developed through the first week of September 2026, was that it should feel like looking at a sky and, specifically, like the chart of a fictional treasure planet, a navigable paper map of a universe where each star is one idea, and languages are the telescopes you choose to view it through. From dictionary page to sky, naming the product. The interface went through three identities in 2 weeks, and the names track its evolution. It began as an ordinary dictionary page, called the Observatory on August 31st. It became the Planetarium on September 1st, as the data imports finished and a star field visualization appeared. Then the author looked at the result, pronounced the star's scaffolding, not the product, and on the night of September 6th, pivoted to a semantic graph explorer, the same sky, but now the point was the meaning. The nodes are concepts labeled in the languages you enable. The edges are colored by relation family, and search disambiguates senses. The older sky view was preserved but unlinked, the explorer became the default face of Lingua Mundi. The pedagogical metaphor, an instrument, not a dashboard. Every element of the interface maps onto astronomy, as a deliberate teaching design. A star is a concept, one meaning shared across languages, a star's brightness is its lexical richness and connectedness. The language you look through is a telescope, the same sky seen in Spanish, English, or Japanese. Constellations and threads are families of relations, the Isay taxonomy drawn as plotted course lines. Zooming in descends from the wide sky to a single star and its neighborhood, the idea behind two star mapping missions, the older Hipparchos and the far sharper Gaia, more detail the deeper you go. And the rest of the instruments act out the metaphor on screen, exposure dials to deepen the field, a sextant to measure routes, bookmarks on stars, a word compass ringing the focus with languages, and a course log tracing how you arrived here. None of this is decoration. The author's design brief, quoted in the records, says the interface should be a real discovery tool, not a toy, a map of all languages a learner or researcher can genuinely explore, and its sources should behave like a navigable paper map, not a dashboard. In the same spirit, the instrument panels are deliberately styled like the brass instruments of an old observatory, dials, sextants, charted courses, an epoch stamp, an aesthetic chosen to teach by feel rather than by menu labels. What is on screen? The Explorer, verified end-to-end in September 2026, provides several instruments. Search with sense disambiguation, typing gato, in Spanish, returns meaning stars, and each result can show which words in which languages share the meaning. The panel for the domestic cat star displays English cat and the archaic Rimalkin, German katza, Japanese Nico. Travel, click a star to make it the focus, and the sky recenters on it. The star panel shows the focus star's members per language, its definition, and its neighbors, with pagination for large neighborhoods. The taxonomy lens climbs to a star's parents, what is this a kind of, or descends to its children, what kinds of this exist, along the Isay tree. The instruments are all live and verified. The exposure dial widens the focus star's field in steps, from 90 stars up to 1,000, without losing your place. The sextant measures a bounded path between two stars, drawing a dashed gold course through the sky and logging each leg. Skymarks pin stars, because they are saved on your own machine, your personal mini constellation survives reloads. The word compass rings the focused star with word chips, one per enabled language, clickable to switch the search language. The course log, home bearing, epoch stamp, and reticle keep you oriented, and a small control marked with a star and labeled support opens the donation window we will hear about shortly. Engineering the sky on 2014 hardware. The interface's beauty is subordinate to one hard constraint: it must run smoothly on a machine with a 2014-era processor, 8 GB of memory, and a spinning disk, the same machine that hosts the database.
The engineering is the bounded work discipline of the last chapter, applied to pixels.
The page renders only on input, idle use costs almost nothing, and nothing animates unless you do something, a deliberate choice under what the studio calls the potato budget. The decorative nebula background is painted once per screen resize and then cached, with subtle camera movement on redraw, instead of being recomputed every frame. Labels are rationed, only about 24-star labels per frame, a label budget that keeps redraws cheap and text legible. Requests are protected, stale response tokens cancel in-flight queries when you move on, double clicks are deferred so no wasted fetch fires, screen resizes are smoothed and delayed, and the drawing resolution is capped, shrinking the memory cost of a resize from about 24 megabytes to about 11. Accessibility is explicit, the drawing canvas carries roles and accessibility labels, reduced motion support is built in, and the sky can be traveled by keyboard.
The demo that ties it together. The project's running demonstration is the word cat, or rather, the concept it belongs to. Search Spanish gato, travel to the star, and the panel shows the domestic cat meaning with its members across the live languages.
The subset actually verified end-to-end in the automatic checks of September 6th and 7th includes English cat, Grimalkin, and the scientific name the word net stores, Felis silvestris catus, German katza, Spanish gato, and Japanese niko. The Fuller member lists the database stores for this meaning English house cat, Mauser, puss, and tomcat, French chat and chat, German cater, Japanese written in its syllable script, Portuguese gato and bichano, come from the imported WordNet membership rather than from the end-to-end checks. Those wider lists are, honestly, not yet verified end-to-end, anyone can rerun the acceptance query for the complete, current enumeration. 1 star, 6 languages, 1 meaning, the December 2025 intuition, visible on screen. And the English side of this demonstration is exactly what the truncation bug briefly broke. A Spanish-driven search for gato reached the star all along, while an English-driven search for cat only works after the coverage repair. The acceptance script exists precisely to prove, on demand, that cat, gato, and the Japanese for cat share their star.
Chapter 9. The workbench, tools, workflow, and the potato. A project history is incomplete without the workbench it was built on. Lingua Mundi's workbench is unusual, and its constraints shaped nearly every engineering decision in this paper. The potato. The machine that hosts the database, the API, the interface, and the development environment is a single consumer laptop, an Asus X751MA, with an Intel Pentium N3540 built on Intel's Bay Trail chip design from 2014, for cores, without the newer processor instructions that speed up machine learning. It has 8 GB of memory, about 7.5 usable, a hard disk spinning at 5400 revolutions per minute, and an internet uplink of roughly 47 kilobytes per second. Those figures were captured live on the machine itself, on September 7, 2026, for this paper. The written record is Messier, and the paper says so. Notes describe the box at different times as an Atom chip or the Pentium, the same Bay Trail generation under two marketing names, an interpretation, while earlier records reference a different, newer machine entirely.
We will hear that hardware record conflict treated honestly in the final part.
The studio calls the live machine, with affection, the potato, and the potato set rules that appear throughout the records, one heavy operation at a time, memory guarded wrappers around everything, no perpetual animation, no premature infrastructure, and every heavy job run is a self-alerting, detached script that reports when it is done, rather than being watched. The bake, don't read arrive pattern, the input-only interface, and the zero-cost research surface are all, at bottom, consequences of the potato, proof that a tight budget can be a design virtue rather than a limitation. The software stack. The running system is compact. Postgres, version 16, is the single data store.
FastAPI, a free, open-source Python framework for building request interfaces, serves the API layer.
Python tooling manages the database's models and migrations, Python scripts run the importers and manage the materialized views, and a small web interface, written in plain web languages with no external dependencies, is served from the same origin. Around this core, a background service manager keeps the API and the memory and temperature guard alive, a daily backup of the codebase runs to a code hosting service, the notes vault serves as project memory, a browser run invisibly, without a window, performs automatic checks of the interface, and the studio's own helpers launch long jobs in the background and send a notification when each one finishes.
The knowledge base, a project memory that can be audited.
From August 26, 2026, the author and his agents maintained a structured knowledge base, a folder of linked notes, of the kind the notes program Obsidian keeps, in which every working session is logged, work done, decisions made, next actions, and the file where each fact came from. Each note carries a small header recording its provenance, with a flag marking each claim verified or not. This vault is the reason the paper can cite dates and quotes at all. Two conventions deserve mention as method: every claim is supposed to state its source, and history is never invented, unconfirmed material is kept, but flagged as unverified. Those conventions are this paper's conventions: zero token research and the local first rule. The author's standing rule is that the local API is the research surface, its endpoints answer questions about the corpus with zero model tokens spent. The same local first instinct governs everything: data, everything self-hosted, nothing dependent on a vendor, money, free tiers and open data only, and privacy, secrets never leave the machine, and the knowledge base is private. Guardrails on a fragile machine. Because the potato has no headroom, the studio built guardrails that are themselves part of the engineering story. A memory and temperature guard warns when free memory falls below about 900 megabytes, or the chip runs hotter than 80 degrees Celsius, and it sheds optional background work below about 500 megabytes, or 88 degrees. On top of that sits a system-level safety net that ends runaway processes before the whole machine freezes. It acts when free memory collapses below 8%, checking every 5 seconds. The operating rules are meant to keep those guardrails from ever having to act, one heavy operation at a time, memory-guarded wrappers, and self-alerting detached jobs for everything long-running. Long repairs are written to be idempotent, creative missing, skip if it exists, so any interruption, a reboot, a power loss, a guard trip, costs nothing but time. The same discipline treats concurrency itself as a resource to be budgeted, like memory or disk. Governance, licenses, attribution, and the free forever decision. Every dataset entered with its license recorded, in a license inventory in the repository and in the live databases source table, WordNet permissive, the open multilingual WordNet mostly share alike, reuse with credit, share alike or credit only, Wiktionary and its machine readable copy. Share alike, with legacy terms from earlier years, Wikidata in the public domain, the word form and grammar annotated data share alike, the Japanese dictionary family permissive with attribution, translated sentence collections per dataset. And the project reciprocates. Its own outputs are planned to be free as well. The funding model evolved publicly across 9 days in late August and early September 2026, and the record shows each step. On August 29, the plan was to sell an offline dictionary app for the core languages, called Texapen, at $29, or $9 a month. A store listing appeared by September 1. And by September 7 came the decision to make Lingua Mundi itself free forever, funded by voluntary donations. The payment product is literally named Lingua Mundi, keep it free forever. The suggested one-time gifts are 5, 15, or 50 euros, the monthly gifts 3, 9, or 25 euros. The honest annual goal is 2,400 euros, enough for infrastructure and the data work of the next language. The donation account was deliberately set up dormant, donations stay disabled until the author completes the payment provider's identity verification, so that free forever is, in the author's framing, a verifiable claim, not a slogan. Public-facing text follows the studio voice rule and the honest copy rule, no hype, no overclaim, the same discipline that governs the database in this paper. That closes part 6. Part 7, the final part of the reading, is where the project stands, what is honestly not known, and the road ahead. Part 7. Where the project stands, its honest limits and its road ahead, section 10 of the paper, and its conclusion. Current state of the system. Measured directly against the live system on September 6 and 7, 2026, the state is this. The corpus holds more than 96,000 concepts, more than 1.2 million word forms, more than 1.6 million recorded word meanings, and more than 171,000 typed connections between meanings. In the 6 live languages, the counts reproduced identically on both measurement dates. The ranking views hold about 94,500 rows for the sky, about 218,000 for the per language rankings, and about 338,000 for the baked words view. That last figure is recorded at creation, because a live recount was denied to the standard database role. It is, honestly, not yet re-verified. The performance speaks for the design. The default sky answers in about a quarter of a second when warm, meaning the data is already in memory. Before the ranking views existed, the same question took about 8.5 seconds. The deep query, 1,000 stars with their words attached, answers in about 1 second, where it once took more than a minute. Path searches answer in milliseconds. Ordinary search answers in about 0.5 seconds warm, and about 10 seconds cold, when the spinning disk must read everything afresh.
The interface is live, with every instrument verified by all 23 automatic browser checks. And the English coverage repair, the uncapped re-import, the relations, the integration, the view refresh, and the end-to-end verification was launched on the morning of September 7, 2026, and ran to completion the same day. Its acceptance gate passed, the chain's own report, and a rerun of the verification script, record the concept-linked English cat senses on the feline concept together with its multilingual members, with the postfix corpus totals written to the same report. Governance is in place, the donation channel is live but deliberately dormant, the code base is backed up daily, and the knowledge base is current. What is honestly not known, and what is unresolved? The studio's conventions require the paper to say plainly what it could not verify, and to record contradictions between sources. These are the important ones, and this recording keeps them all. First, the Core 6 discrepancy. The author's personal language set, recorded in August 2026, is Spanish, English, Japanese, French, Italian, and Portuguese. The live database's 6 languages are English, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and Japanese. German replaced Italian with no surviving written explanation. The Italian row and datasets were registered earlier, but the live table holds German. And recall the engineering specifications tiers, which included Mandarin and Italian but not German, 3 different published language sets, in 3 months. The reason for the change is not yet verified. Second, corpus count drift within a single day. A technical dossier written on September 6 reports about 1.15 million word forms, direct measurement of the database the same evening reports about 1.24 million, and the session log from that same evening carries a third, in-between figure, consistent with imports still landing through the day. The per-language sums line up with the direct count, so the dossier's numbers appear to come from a different moment or filter. The discrepancy is unexplained in the records, the paper quotes the direct measurements, with their date. Third, the hardware records conflict. The machine hosting the live system in September 2026 was captured directly for this paper, the Asus laptop with the Pentium N3540, Bay Trail Silicon from 2014, 8 GB of memory. The written record is Messier, notes describe the box as an Atom Bay Trail chip and as the Pentium, the same silicon generation under. 2 marketing names, which is an interpretation. But earlier 2026 records reference a different machine entirely, a newer Intel Jasper Lake chip, with 12 GB of memory in January, and, in a mid-2026 memory file, a Jasper Lake chip with 4. Jasper Lake is not Bay Trail silicon. So the records describe either 2 different machines over the year, or assistants mislabeling the hardware. The surviving evidence cannot decide which, and the point is flagged rather than smoothed over. Fourth, the data quality warnings from the September audit. The corpus contains about 179,000 pairs of duplicated dictionary form entries, about 125,000 word forms with no recorded meaning, about a third of definitions empty, and, at the time of the audit, before the English repair, nearly 3/4 of recorded meanings not yet linked to a shared concept. The same audit found that referential integrity held throughout, the sums were exact, with 0 dangling rows. That last point matters, the nearly 3/4 figure describes meanings not yet linked to a concept, the designed, visible orphan state, not broken references. It is an honest distinction the project deliberately keeps visible while alignment work continues. Fifth, what is unmeasured or pending? Performance on hardware other than the potato has never been measured. The project has no public users yet, so there are no real usage metrics. The studio's legal structure is not documented in the records. And 3 modeling questions stay open: how to handle the 2 Koreas under one language code, the scarcity of Cantonese data, and the licensing review of the Taiwanese WordNet. These are not hidden, they are on the table. The road ahead. The roadmap, approved in late August 2026, is the mature form of the June manuscript's 7 graphs, phonetics and phonology, morphology, imported, syntax, imported, semantics, imported, lexicography, imported, corpora, imported and queued, discourse, etymology, and the correspondence and usage layers, plus, eventually, a public web interface for everyone. In the near term, the documented plans are these. The next languages planned for the schema are Mandarin, Cantonese, Korean, and Vietnamese, and their schedule depends on a data availability survey that is honest about the open data landscape. For Mandarin, a WordNet source holds about 19,000 rows and a grammar corpus about 123,000 tokens. For Korean, about 9,000 WordNet rows, for Vietnamese, about 5,500. And for Cantonese, about 500 WordNet rows and a small grammar corpus of about 14,000 tokens, the scarce one, with no large WordNet and little grammar data, while the Taiwanese WordNet licenses remain under review. No dataset from this family has been imported as of the draft. The timing is an open decision pending that review.
A second set of interface paints research tools for the word lens and for climbing lineage were designed and approved in early September and queued behind the instrument build.
And the publication moves forward. This paper is a preliminary AI-generated draft. The human-authored publication is in development.
The long-term goal is unchanged, the schema's promise of languages without end. The donation pitch says it plainly, Lingua Mundi starts with 6 languages and is built to add them indefinitely.
Conclusion.
What began on December 3, 2025, as a request for free dictionary files is now a running, queryable, 6-language map of meaning, built on open data by one person with free tools and a 2014 laptop.
The ideas that carried it are not new, but they are true, that meaning is the natural unit of multilingual data, that alignment must be explicit and labeled, never silently guessed, that expensive computation should be baked once and read many times, that a budget constraint is a design tool, and that every claim in a database or a paper should carry its source and its
date.
And the project demonstrates that one person can act on all of them.
Its most valuable artifact may not be the database at all, but the demonstration that a solo researcher can build honest infrastructure in public, measuring what he measures, dating what he dates, showing his orphans, and keeping his word. 1 star, 6 languages, and the whole sky still ahead.
That is the end of the paper's main text. The closing words follow in the final part. Part 8. Closing words.
You have heard the story of Lingua Mundi, how one translator, in December 2025, asked for free dictionary files, how the request grew into the intuition that meaning, not spelling, is the natural unit of language data, and how, over 10 months, on one laptop from 2014, with a budget of zero and open data only, that intuition became a live database, more than 96,000 shared meanings, more than 1.2 million word forms, 6 languages, 1 star map.
A few practical notes before we close.
This recording read the paper's main text. The full paper on the webpage carries everything we could not speak comfortably, the complete references, the appendices, including the glossary and the detailed account of sources, method, and verification queries, and every clickable source. Where this recording glossed a technical term in passing, the page gives the fuller definition.
And if you want to check a figure, the paper prints the exact query and date beside it.
One honest reminder, to end as the paper does. When the paper was drafted, the repair that restores the English word cat to its star was still running, and its final result had not yet been recorded. That is the kind of candor this project was built on, in its database, in its notes, and in this recording.
Unverified stays unverified, until it is verified. Orphans stay visible, until they find their meaning.
The author ends the paper with 6 words, and so do we. Built in a cave, with a bunch of scraps.
Thank you for listening.